right. Next up, we have Adara Bemisdorfer. Did I get it? Okay. Adara is a policy associate with the Kaiser Family Foundation's Women Health Policy Team, where she conducts research on the impact of major health policies on women and girls, with an emphasis on insurance coverage, access to care, and low-income populations. In particular, she's focused on programs that aim to understand how federal, state, and local policies influence health and access to services for women. Adara holds a BS in Health Services Administration from San Jose State University and is currently pursuing her MPH in Health Policy from George Washington University. And there are a couple seats up front if folks would like.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a little nervous. My first presentation, so please forgive me if I stutter. That really helped. Thanks, guys. So at the Kaiser Family Foundation, one of our primary foci is to examine how insurance coverage impacts access to health care. For women, access to reproductive health services, including abortion, can have a serious impact on their health and livelihood. This research focuses on insurance coverage of abortion and what this means for women. Do not have any financial relationship to disclose, and neither do my co-authors. So as we just heard, abortion is an incredibly common procedure in the United States and is extremely safe. 3 in 10 women in the U.S. have had an abortion by the age of 45, and these abortions usually occur within the first trimester. Abortion is most prevalent among women who are in their early 20s, are low income, and whose pregnancy is unintended. Women may seek abortions for a variety of reasons, but they are usually categorized as elective or medically necessary, also called therapeutic abortions. This distinction is one made by insurance companies and lawmakers to restrict access to abortion for women who may not be experiencing a medical complication, but may seek abortion for other reasons. The issue of whether to cover abortions for women who may seek this procedure for other personal reasons has been highly contested and debated in both the political and public forums. On average, the cost of abortion ranges from about $400 to $900. For women who do obtain an abortion, more than half of them pay for it themselves. Many women, especially those who are low income, this amount can be burdensome and even prohibitory. The amount an abortion costs can increase depending upon how far along the pregnancy is, the location the woman obtains the abortion, and whether she is receiving a medication abortion with the pill or a surgical abortion. In general, abortions in the second trimester cost more than the first trimester because they're more likely to take place in a hospital rather than a clinic. Complications from abortion, which are extremely rare, increase the costs as well. Some organizations and donors provide funding to help women pay for abortions, and some clinics offer a sliding scale based on a woman's income, but these funds are not always available to women seeking abortions. Women who seek abortions may not only be responsible for the full cost of the procedure, but may be subject to additional costs because they have to take time off of work, they may have to travel substantial distances, and they may have to find child care for their children they already have. Insurance coverage of abortion may help ease the cost burden placed on these women. Whether abortion is covered by a woman's insurance depends in huge part on how the insurance she has is regulated. Private insurance coverage is either regulated by the federal or state governments. Self-insured or self-funded plans are federally regulated by ERISA. These are health plans that are fully or partially funded by an employer, meaning they assume direct financial responsibility, and they are not subject to state regulations. Approximately 61% of employees are in plans that are self-funded or partially self-funded. States regulate plans that are sold on the small and large group markets, as well as the individual market. Before the Affordable Care Act, the individual market only includes those plans that were purchased by individuals directly from insurers. Now the individual market also includes individuals who obtain insurance through the new marketplaces established by the ACA. Whether abortion coverage is allowed to be offered in these markets depends on the regulations and laws established by the federal and state governments. The distinction between plans that are federally and federally regulated versus state regulated is important because the federally regulated plans do not have to abide by the state level requirements for specific benefits. Millions of women also obtain health insurance through Medicaid, and this is increasing as a result of the ACA's coverage expansion. Medicaid programs are prohibited from using federal funds to pay for abortion unless the pregnancy is the result of rape or incest or the woman's life is endangered by the pregnancy. The Hyde Amendment restricting the use of federal funds for this purpose was passed in 1977 after the Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade, and has been attached to federal appropriations bills ever since. Although Medicaid programs are restricted from using federal funds to pay for abortion, some states use their own funds to cover abortion for low-income women. Looking at where women of reproductive age actually gain insurance, we can see in the pie charts that a majority of women receive employer-sponsored insurance or purchase their own coverage. One in five women are publicly insured through Medicaid, Medicare, or other public insurance, and one in six women are uninsured. These are data from 2013, just before the ACA's major coverage expansions took effect, and in the bar on the right, we can see the most uninsured women are potentially eligible for coverage with the assistance of ACA reforms. The Affordable Care Act aims to expand access to health insurance through various pathways, including creating marketplaces where individuals and employees of small businesses can purchase insurance and expanding Medicaid eligibility for low-income adults. Since the Supreme Court's ruling in June 2012 made the Medicaid expansion optional for states, not as many low-income adults will gain Medicaid coverage as was originally expected when the ACA was passed. In states that are not expanding Medicaid, most uninsured individuals with incomes below the poverty line will not qualify for Medicaid. Will not qualify for any financial assistance through the marketplaces. Effectively, the state's decision to not expand their Medicaid program creates a coverage gap for individuals who do not qualify for Medicaid but are still too poor to qualify for the subsidies offered through the marketplaces. About 10% of women will fall into this coverage gap. These women will likely remain uninsured, along with 16% of uninsured women who are undocumented. One quarter of uninsured women are eligible for Medicaid, and one quarter of uninsured women are eligible for tax credits through the marketplaces. 21% of women are not eligible for tax credits because their income is above 400% of the poverty level, or they have an employer offer of insurance. As I mentioned before, state laws can determine what benefits insurance plans cover, specifically whether abortion is covered. States are able to restrict or ban insurance coverage of abortion in three markets: the new marketplaces, the individual markets, private markets, and Medicaid. The ACA included very specific requirements regarding abortion coverage. States are prohibited from classifying abortion as an essential health benefit, which are a set of benefits all insurance plans offered through the marketplaces are required to cover. States are able to explicitly ban abortion from being covered by any insurance plan in the new marketplaces. And in 2017, every marketplace is supposed to include a multi-state plan, which are plans that are being offered by one insurer in multiple states. At least one MSP must be available without abortion coverage. Additionally, if insurers offering plans in marketplaces choose to offer plans that cover abortion, insurers are required to segregate the premiums collected from plan enrollees to ensure no federal funds are being used to pay for abortion services. The federal government has required that plans must segregate at least $1 per enrollee per month and place this money in an account to only be used for abortion. This may result in insurers collecting two separate payments from employees, or insurers can segregate the funds after a single premium has been collected. States have authority to ban or restrict abortion coverage in plans sold in the private market. As I said before, these are plans offered in state-regulated small and large group markets, as well as plans purchased by individuals directly from insurers. These insurance bans usually include the Hyde restrictions, meaning insurance plans can only cover abortion in the cases of rape, incest, or life endangerment of the woman. States can also restrict coverage more severely than the Hyde Amendment. For example, 8 states only allow abortion coverage in the instances of life endangerment of the woman, so they don't provide any exceptions for rape or incest. Medicaid programs are prohibited from using federal funds to cover abortion, but can use state funds to do so, but some states have also banned abortion coverage even using state funds. And states began passing this legislation almost immediately following Roe v. Wade. However, as I will show you, the number of limitations has increased substantially in recent years. Looking first at the number of states that had laws limiting abortion coverage in the private market and Medicaid in 2000, we can see that only 4 states in the dark orange limited abortion coverage in the private markets, while 35 states in D.C., which are highlighted in yellow, limited abortion coverage in Medicaid. Just before the ACA was enacted, only 1 additional state had passed a law restricting abortion coverage in the private market. When we look at the number of laws in existence now, the map looks very different. 10 states, highlighted in red, have banned insurance coverage of abortion in all 3 markets. 14 states in orange have banned insurance coverage of abortion in the marketplaces as well as Medicaid, and 1 state in the yellow has only banned abortion coverage in the marketplaces. 9 states in D.C. have retained their ban in the Medicaid program but have not passed any additional legislation restricting coverage. How women are affected by these insurance bans is really dependent upon where they live. Looking at women who are currently uninsured and how these insurance bans impact them, we can get a sense of how women who obtain coverage in the private market and through Medicaid are affected as well. Just under half of uninsured women live in a state without any insurance restrictions. This includes women who live in California and New York, 2 of the most populous states. 42% of women live in states that have at least 1 insurance ban, meaning that while some women may still have access to insurance that covers abortion, they most likely do not. Lastly, 12% of women fall into the coverage gap, meaning that they are ineligible for Medicaid or tax subsidies. Nearly all of these women live in states that restrict insurance coverage of abortion under Medicaid, so even if their state was expanding Medicaid, abortion would not be a covered service. It is important to note that even though states do not have legislation prohibiting insurance coverage of abortion in the private market and marketplaces, plans may not be available that cover abortion. In 2014, the U.S. Government Accountability Office released a report in which they looked at whether plans offered through marketplaces actually covered abortion. They only examined plans in states that had not banned insurance coverage of abortion in the marketplaces. The states in blue are these states that had banned insurance coverage of abortion in the marketplaces. The light orange states are states where at least 1 plan covered abortion in the marketplace, and the dark orange states are states where there was not a single plan that offered insurance coverage of abortion, even though the marketplace was not prohibited from covering this. One interesting note is that even though Arizona has legislation that prohibits coverage of abortion in their marketplace, the Department of Insurance has said that since the law stated only applies to state marketplaces and Arizona has a federally facilitated marketplace, plans can actually offer insurance coverage of abortion, and some of them are. Many insurance companies have stated the difficulty of segregating funds for abortion coverage as well as other operational barriers. Additionally, from a consumer perspective, it is difficult to figure out whether the plan you are interested in covers or does not cover abortion. Insurers do not usually include a mention of this in the information provided to consumers before they enroll, and this information is usually included in documentation provided after enrollment, but by then it's usually too late to switch plans. Although insurance coverage of abortion is important, as we just heard, it is far from the only factor that impacts access to care. States have passed a significant amount of legislation targeting abortion in other ways, targeted regulation of abortion providers or TRAP laws, as well as limiting when abortions can be performed, requiring ultrasounds, or requiring multiple visits to a provider, all aimed to reduce a woman's access to abortion or make an abortion extremely difficult to obtain, and so the women will end up not getting it. Trap laws have resulted in the closure of abortion clinics, many of which also provide additional services important for women's reproductive health. While insurance coverage of abortion will continue to play an important role in access to abortion services, other state laws will play an even more significant role. Abortion is an important component to women's reproductive health, and we cannot go back to the time when this procedure was unavailable or unsafe. Thank you very much. Not that I've seen. I've done some work looking at whether abortion is covered, which is, first of all, very hard to do. I've been working with Guttmacher Institute to look at the SBCs and whether it's mentioned in there. And usually if abortion is offered in one plan by one insurer, the insurer offers abortion and all the plans are offering through the marketplaces.